I want to speak to you about something that I actually want to take you on a journey with this morning. And I really hope that I can actually bring this over in the same way that I did in the Afrikaans meeting, because I think this is one profound message that really made a difference in my heart, okay? And if I can just begin by saying that there are people sitting here that think they think they know that Jesus is the Messiah, all right? So there are people like that, and they are all over the world. But then you get people that don't only think they know that Jesus is the Messiah. Because of the resurrection, we know that Jesus is the living Son of God. Amen? Can you say amen on that? Okay, and you know what? We need to ask ourselves, what makes the difference? What makes us believe and not just think? What makes us know and not just think that Jesus is the Messiah? And I'm going to take you on a journey of one man that I think at one stage in his life thought he knew who Jesus was. But then something happened, and it actually brought him to a place where he didn't think anymore. He knew that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And first of all, I want you to just follow me on this, because I'm really going to take you through a journey. I have to begin here because I'm taking you somewhere. Okay, Luke 5 verse 4 to 6 is pretty much the story of the account of where Jesus started calling his disciples, okay? So it's like this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, that's Peter, okay? That's now Simon Peter, the same guy. Simon Peter, same guy, okay? Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. And Peter said, Master, we worked hard last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Do you see the miracle? Okay, I want you to remember this because I'm going to get back to it. And as soon as they landed, now this is actually what happened here, is that, remember I said that this is the account where Jesus is calling his apostles or his disciples. So after they landed, they had this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus said to them, they should leave everything and follow him, and that is what they did. As soon as they landed, the Bible says, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Okay? Now, let me just say this. All of us has made the decision that we want to follow Jesus. If you're sitting here today, you've probably made that decision already. We've made the declaration. And Peter made this declaration as well. But the Bible comes in Matthew 26, and this is a total different occasion. This is now the night before Jesus was arrested. Okay, so we'll get back to this other part, but I just want to take you somewhere. I'm jumping now, it's like 3 years later, to the night that Jesus was arrested. And Jesus said to his disciples, after they actually took communion, that tonight all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say that God will strike the shepherd, that's Jesus himself, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. That's referring to his disciples. That was a prophetic word. But after I have been raised from the dead, listen to what he says, I will go ahead to Galilee and I will meet you there. And then the apostle Peter, the very same guy that encountered this miracle 3 years ago, he got up just like Peter is. I mean, we all know him like sometimes he was this real wild card in the Bible. And then he gets up and he says, if everyone else deserts you, listen, I will never desert you. Okay, so My question to you just today is, have you ever said that to Jesus? Because I think we all have. Jesus, I will never, ever, I will never, ever do it again. I will never, ever desert you. Jesus, I promise, I know I made so many mistakes. I repent. I will never, ever, please forgive me. I promise you, I'll never. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I tell you the truth. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That you don't even know me. No, said Peter, and insisted, even if I have to die with you. Listen very carefully what Peter says, because this thing came back to you. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will never, ever deny you. And all the other disciples, listen, made the promise, they made a vow that they will do the same. Okay? Now, this is not a message to actually down Peter, okay? Because actually he was a great guy. This is not what this is about. I just think that we can all relate to Peter. And I said something now that in some way we have actually all denied Jesus. Or was it just me? Because if I have to ask you today, have any one of you ever broken a promise or broken a vow or denied Jesus? I would have to put my hand up first. And can I just see, is there anybody else here that just wants to follow me? Okay, that's like 100% nearly. Okay, so it's like that. We've all stumbled. We've all said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. And then we've stumbled. We've made mistakes. We've denied him. And then we say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to do this ever again. Then I do it again. And I stumble again. And then I go on my knees and I pray. Sometimes things happen to me and I'm so afraid because I think it's because of my sin. And I run back to Jesus and I say, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. I'll never ever do this again. But please don't let everything happen to my finances. Don't let the car break. Don't let the fridge break down. Just Lord, the television. Please, God, I repent. I'll never do this again. Please, God, just heal me. I promise I'll follow you. Just heal me, Jesus. That's all I'm asking you. Is it just me? No, it's not just me. I know it's not just me. So in a way, we can identify with Peter. And then the Bible comes later on in the same very, very chapter. And this is now after Jesus has been arrested. The Bible says that Peter is sitting outside in a courtyard. Now, let me just explain to you what a courtyard was like. It was actually the area where we believe that Jesus was trialed. It was like a courtyard in the area where Pilate probably was where they used to actually trial many people. And so it was this courtyard. And here, I don't think it could have been much bigger than, say, from here, this area to that wall. Maybe a little bit bigger. I don't know. When we were in Israel, we actually saw similar courtyards where Jesus was actually whipped. And it's not a big area, okay? It might have changed, but it's not big areas. So in this area, while Jesus is there, Peter is actually in the very same courtyard, and we don't know who else was there, but the Bible actually recalls that Peter was there. And so a servant girl came to Peter and said to Peter, Peter, you were one of those with Jesus the Galilean. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. Listen, the very same guy that said, I will die for you. Do you remember that? I just read it now. The very same guy denied Jesus in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And later on out the gate, a second time, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. I don't even know the man, he said. And then the Bible goes on and says a little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. I can tell because of your Galilean accent. And Peter swore. Another version of the Bible says he literally cursed and sweared. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what that sounded like in Hebrew, but in English it would have been like something like, I don't know. He swore. Maybe your achterend man, your backside man, something like that. I don't know. But in any case, he said, a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. Can you imagine how Peter felt after that? When he heard the rooster crow and he knew, I just made a promise that same night that I will never ever deny Jesus. And after he denied him for a third time, the rooster crowed. And if you think of it, what the other parts in the Bible says about it, I think that it could have even been much worse. I don't know what Peter felt like after this. The Bible says in Luke 22, it's just another version of the same occasion. Man, I don't know what you are talking about. Peter says, and immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Remember, I said they were in the same courtyard. And I can just imagine how Peter must have felt. Sitting there, right in front of Jesus. I don't know how far they were apart, but when the rooster crowed, Jesus looked at Peter like that. And he must have looked away again. If I really have to lift myself into the story, I think it was even worse than that. Because the Bible actually describes what was happening to Jesus while the rooster was crowing. See the following, the soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters and called out the entire regiment. And they dressed him in a purple robe and they wove thorn branches into a crown and they pushed it onto his head. And then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick and they spat on him. And I'm thinking, there's Jesus, swollen eyes, bleeding, bruised lips, blood running down his face, looking at Peter when the rooster crowed. And here we are sitting. And you're saying, but I've never denied Jesus with my words. And I'm saying, that's fine. I believe you. But can I ask you a question? Who of you have ever denied Jesus with your works? By just the acts of your physical body or the lack of acting out with your physical body. Because silence is also an answer. Silence can also be denial. And I'm thinking, my goodness. And I open the Bible in the book of Titus. And I see that Titus actually warns the church and he says, there are some believers, they profess that they know God with their lips, but in their works, they deny him. I'm thinking back at my own life and I'm wondering, Jesus, how many times did I do this? And I know that this is a very serious moment. I know that it's very intense, the way I described Peter's encounter. But is it any different from ours? Doesn't make him less crucified. It doesn't make him less Jesus. It doesn't make him less martyred because I was not there. And you were not there when it happened. But then there's something in Peter's life that changed. And we need to ask ourselves, what is it that changed in Peter's life? Because you need to understand that God really loved Peter all his life. And that Peter was really one of the founding apostles of the church. He was one of the foundation stones. He was like a pillar. And we need to go and look at the rest of Peter's life, because I can tell you now that after Jesus' death, I can just imagine the shame. And I can imagine the guilt. And I can imagine what Peter had to go through in his life when he knew and realized that he denied Jesus. You need to understand something about what happened after the burial of Jesus. After the resurrection, even though they knew now that he was the Messiah, they were so ashamed and so guilt-ridden that they went back fishing. If you recall the story, they didn't even want to look Jesus in the eyes. The only thing that they could think of is, let's go back fishing. So what happened is, at some stage, after the resurrection, at dawn, while they were on the boat, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, "Have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then Jesus said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will get some." And so they did. And they couldn't haul in the net, because there were so many fish. Do you recall the miracle? Isn't that exactly what happened when Jesus called his disciples? Isn't that amazing? So what actually happens here is when the boat is filled with fish, I can't even haul in the net. John turns to Peter and he says to Peter, "Peter, that must be Jesus." And Peter gets so excited. He jumps into the river, swims about 100 meters to the shore, and he goes and meets Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, this is really you. This is really you." And I can just imagine this amazing encounter that they had. But we need to ask ourselves this one question. Why did Jesus have to do this miracle again? Have you ever thought of it? It's fine to say he's done it again, but why? I thought about it in two different ways and directions, and the only thing that I can, conclusion that I can come to is that Jesus just wanted to tell Peter, what you did is okay. I'm not upset. I'll do it again. It's fine. I still love you. I still care for you. And I am still the very same Jesus that I was before you denied me. Nothing has changed. You don't have to feel bad or guilty about anything. You can begin all over again, Peter. You can start all over. You can start afresh. We can fix this thing. And it's like Jesus is telling us today, his church and individuals, it is okay. You can start all over again. And so this passage is the famous passage of what we understand to be the reinstatement of Peter. Okay, it's called the reinstatement passage, where Peter was reinstated. Theologically, that's what they call it. And you will remember that this is also the place while they're sitting around the fire, and Jesus asking Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, the first time, and Jesus asks him again. And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus asks him a third time, and Peter, a little bit frustrated, says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what Peter actually meant there is, Lord, you know that I've denied you. But I want to tell you, Jesus, I still love you. I still love you. You know I denied you three times, Jesus, but I still love you. You know why? Because you came back looking for me. You know what? This to me is the most amazing, profound incidence of where I understand something about God, and that is if you found God, God will never leave you. He'll come back looking for you again and again and again, my friend. If you're saved, you will never be lost, because there's a loving God who is gracious and merciful that cares for you, and He'll come back looking for you. And I don't know if you understand that, but I think this is good. And so what made the difference? I'll tell you what made the difference. The resurrection made the difference in Peter's life. Because that's the very same Peter in Acts 2 stood on the temple porch, and he actually preached to all the Pharisees and the Jews, and he actually said to them, you're the ones who crucified Jesus. Now you repent. That is the very same guy who actually told a paralyzed person at the temple gates, gold and silver have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. It is the very same man who denied Jesus three times, who actually faced Ananias and Sapphira, and when they lied to the Holy Spirit, Ananias dropped down right dead, and he tells Sapphira, the very people who came in to bury your husband will bury you as well. It is the very same person who was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What made the difference? I want to tell you today, the resurrection made the difference in Peter's life. That is what changed Peter forever. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can change us. And I am so excited today, because I know it is the resurrection that conquered death, and it's the resurrection that conquered our sin, and it is the resurrection that can change us, and it is the resurrection that gives us eternal life. So, let's just carry on with the story. So when Jesus encounters Peter there, after Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. Jesus actually tells Peter this. I'm not finished with the story yet. You remember that in Luke 5, after Jesus did the miracle, he said to his disciples, follow me. You remember that? And so the story goes on. I tell you the truth, says Jesus to Peter. He says, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. And some of us sitting here still do what we like. I'm being very serious today. We still do what we like. Listen to what Jesus is telling Peter. He says, Peter, when you were young, you used to do what you liked. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. And I'll tell you what, until today, there are people sitting here. You dress yourself and you go wherever you want to go. But there comes a time when Jesus told Peter, Peter, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you. And you will stretch out your hands and others will take you where you, Peter, don't want to go. And Jesus said to Peter, to let him understand what kind of a death he'll die one day. Okay? It happened like this. Peter, there's only one apostle out of the 12 that was not persecuted to death, and that's John. He ended up on the island of Patmos. He wrote Revelation, and also 1, 2, and 3 John. Okay? It's not John the Baptist. It's another John. Okay? John the Baptist was beheaded. Okay, so Peter ended up dying the way Jesus told him he would. He said to Peter, Jesus said this to let him know what kind of a death he would glorify God with. And then Jesus said the most profound thing, which he've said before, follow me. Follow me. How are you following Jesus? Because there was a time in Peter's life that he thought he was following Jesus. In actual fact, the Bible actually describes it. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, if anyone wants to follow me, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. And that's exactly what Peter did in the end. But there was a time in Peter's life that the Bible says, but Peter followed him at a distance. And so my question to you today is dual. The first one, are you following God? And the second one is, are you following him closely? Or are you following him at a distance? Because I can tell you now that there comes a time when God will challenge every single believer to test if they're at the point of no turning back. No turning back. In the beginning, when you're young, you follow him at a distance. How far are you from God? Because God's not far. He's right here. How far are you? Or are you following him closely? And are you walking the Calvary Road? Because if Jesus asks it of you, will you be willing to die? I know this is very intense. But this is the kind of commitment God wants from us. Not because he cannot give it, because he did give it. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Bow your heads. I want you to just think about this.